If you have your little sheet, for some time the staff has been talking together about what is our mission statement. Later we'll be talking to you about our vision statement, but one of the things we'll likely do next semester is speak a great deal to you about our values. What are we trying to do here? Where are we going? How do we plan to get there? This type of thing. And so tonight I want to take a few minutes and just talk with you about our mission statement. We've broken this down in words so you can take notes under each section if you want to. The first thing, and let me just read it to you and then we'll come back and talk about it. It's our objective, our mission statement here is to help students to know God intimately, to love, obey, glorify Him, to understand your position in Christ and His body, becoming all God desires you to be in knowledge, character, in skills, in vision, with the desire that God use you to the ends of the earth in raising up multiplying laborers and for the evangelization of the lost. Now, let me just talk to you for a few minutes about that tonight. The first thing I want to say is our desire is to help you. This is a helping ministry, and this ministry is designed to help you. As we've said to you before, there are many groups on the campus that would want your attention for various reasons, but at the BSU, we want your attention for one primary reason, because we want to help you. And while you're in school, that will mean something. It will mean some commitment on your part. You know, it requires your availability, and it requires your teachability. If you're going to gain what you can gain from the BSU, it will require some commitment on your part. And we want to help you with in the following areas. One is we want to help you know God intimately. If there was only one single thing we could get over to you while you were in school, it would be to know and to walk with God. Our greatest desire is that you might know God. In Jeremiah 29, verse 12 and 13, the scriptures say, "And then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." Now that's a promise from God. You see it at other places in the scriptures. If you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. If you want to know God, you can know God. There's not a single person under the sound of my voice tonight, but if you decide you want to know God intimately, you can know Him. He has invited you to have that kind of relationship with Him. And so I would challenge you to get to know your God. You know, I've said to you often, you face some great dangers in your life. There's always something going on. You have more cassettes, more CDs, more every kind of stuff you can imagine to listen to. And any time there's ever a moment of silence, you can run, turn on your CD or something and not get the time that you need to get to know God. Now let me tell you, you will not get to know God unless you spend some time with Him. And that's going to require that you spend some time in which you would normally be very lonely times, but which you really seek the Lord. And so while you're in school is a great time to do that. Set aside time to get to know the Lord. You know, in Daniel 10:12, it says, "They that do know their God will be strong and do exploits." Hosea 6:6, in the Living Bible, God says, "I don't want your offerings, I don't want your sacrifices, I want your love. I don't want your offerings, I want you to know me." So that's what God most wants with us. He wants us to know Him. Paul, after having met the Lord many, many years before, said in Philippians 3:10, "that I may know Him." So get to know the Lord, and there are no shortcuts. You need to spend time in His Word, the importance of spending time in Bible study. That's why we have conferences. That's why we have Vespers. That's why we have things like that, our teams and things, to try to help you to get to know God intimately. Now, you don't know what you're going to be facing further in life. You need to get to know the Lord. You know, I've just finished a book. James Dobson has written a book called When God Doesn't Make Sense. And it's talking about some difficult things in life. Now, some of you right here tonight, under the sound of my voice, someday you're going to get married and you're going to have a child die. That will happen to someone in this room. There are going to be some hard things that you face in life. Are you ready for those things? You will not be unless you have some depth in your walk with God. And sometimes if hard things come into your life, there are many people that sit in these chairs where you're sitting tonight that are no longer walking with God because something hard came in life. They got bitter, and because they had not developed an intimate walk with the Lord, and they had not learned to trust the Lord when they did not understand what was really going on. So there's no substitute for that. Get to know your God. And then to love Him. You know, when a man came to Jesus and said, "What's a great commandment in the law?" And He said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. This is the first and great commandment." To love God. And in Revelation 2:4, Jesus said to one of the churches, "I have something against you because you've left your first love." Some of you know what it's like. You remember what it was like when you first came to know the Lord. The tremendous love you had for Him, the desire you had to be with Him. Develop a love relationship with the Lord. That will not happen unless you spend time with Him. And then to obey Him. You know, that is very, very important to God. Obedience. Obedience shows your trust in God. If you trust God, then you will obey Him because you know He has your best interest at heart. And there's no substitute for obedience. When God tells you to do something, you want to do it. And all through the Scriptures especially, God has given you instruction. Instruction that if you will obey, God will bless you. You know, this morning I had a tremendous time just in my quiet time over in 2 Chronicles 30 and 31 and 32 over in that area. And just saw again and again how when the kings obeyed God, how God blessed them. And all through the Scriptures there's those promises to you. If you will obey God, God will greatly honor and bless your life. You want the blessings of God on your life? Then be obedient to Him. And there's no substitute for obedience. Okay, on the next page. Glorify Him. But let me ask you, is that the greatest desire of your life? That as a result of your life on earth, that God would be glorified? You can glorify Him, and you can glorify Him in everything you do. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, "For therefore you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." You can study to the glory of God. It's not what you're doing that determines where it glorifies God or not. It's why you're doing it. It's not the nature of what you're doing. It's why you're doing it. See, if you're studying because God put you here to be a student, that can bring honor and glory to God. And as a result of that, it can open up great opportunities for your witness. So whatever you do, seek to glorify Him. Now, the opposite of that is taking credit for ourselves, becoming prideful. If your desire is to bring honor to Him, so that as a result of your life, people will know God, they will love God, they will obey God, then your own focus as far as your life is concerned. See, your life ought to be the little spotlight that shines on Jesus. And everything you do ought to be to glorify Him. In Isaiah 42:8, God says, "My glory I will not share with another." Don't ever try to touch the glory of God. Whatever God does through your life, let the glory always go to Him, because He will not share His glory with another. You know, the psalmist prayed in Psalms 115:1, "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto Thy name give glory." And that's a great prayer, Psalms 115:1. "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto Thy name give glory." Isaiah 43:7, "Even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory." Now that's why God's created us, to bring honor and glory to Him. Let me tell you, it'll save you a lot of heartache in life if you'll just settle once and for all, "I'm here for one primary purpose, and that is to bring honor and glory to Him. So therefore, I don't want to do anything that will not honor God. I would not want to work any place that would not honor God. I would not want to be anywhere. I would not want to say anything. And let me say this to you here. If the desire of your life is everything you do to bring honor and glory to Him, then it makes no difference who's not there or who's not there. You know, I know guys that will say things when they're alone with a group of guys they would not say in the presence of a girl. And you know what that tells me about the guy? The goal of his life, or where he is at that point, and what he's saying is not to bring honor and glory to God. You should never, never say anything anywhere in anybody's presence that you would not say if Jesus were not standing in the flesh right there. You know, I had a fellow to come talk to me just recently from another city, because one of the big concerns he has is for what happens in a situation in a mixed company with a friend of his and some of the things that that person would say. Now, here is a person that's in spiritual leadership, and yet he's saying things in the presence of others that is not honoring and glorifying to the Lord. And let me tell you, he's on a downhill slide. So don't play to the wrong audience. See, it doesn't make any difference where you are. And we're going to say some things later about character. See, your character is basically what you are in the dark. What kind of person are you when no one else is around? Would you go see a certain video? Would you bring a video home if you were home alone and your parents were gone and nobody was going to know it and you were in another city? Would you go check out a video and bring it home and watch it, but you would not watch it in your room at OU if your roommate went to the Baptist Student Union? Then you're looking to the wrong crowd. Set your heart to bring honor and glory to God. You never want to go anywhere. You don't want to say anything. You don't want to do anything. You never want to tell a story that's the least bit off color. You don't want to do it in a way that you would not do if Jesus were there. Because you know what? Jesus is there. And He is in your heart. And He is always with you. And so just decide once and for all, I'm going to live my life to bring honor and glory to God. So therefore, everything that comes out of my mouth, if it is not glorifying to Him, I don't want to say it. Now, I don't mean by that you can't have some fun. I mean, Jesus said some funny things. Have you ever seen a camel go through the eye of a needle? I mean, I never have. Have you ever seen a man walking around with a log sticking out of his eye? I know a man that wrote a book on the humor of Jesus. He said, you know, I always was so serious about the Christian life, and then he was reading devotionals at the breakfast table and his kids would start laughing. And he said, I want to reach over and slap them. Hey, we're talking about serious things. And he said, when I began to see it through the eyes of a child, a kid that had never heard this, when Jesus said, now, if you, here you are, you walk around, and you're trying to take a speck of sawdust out of somebody else's eye, and you've got a log sticking out of yours. Well, I mean, it is kind of funny if you've never heard it before. And so there's a lot of you. I'm not talking about not having fun, not enjoying life, but even in our humor. And that's why around here, folks, we don't make light. We don't joke in such a way. We don't say things about people that might be hurtful to them. You know, I know there's some situations in which people will make jokes about other people. We never want to do that in any way. Make a joke in such a way that it would be harmful to another person. Do you know what somebody's nickname is that they don't like? Maybe they were called that growing up, and you know they don't like it, and yet you would call them that? That's not honoring to the Lord. Don't use humor or anything else in a way that is not glorifying to God. If we would just set our hearts to bring honor and glory to Him, that's why I'm living. I don't know how long that will be. You don't know how long it will be. But I just want, when the life is over, is to know that we brought honor and glory to Him. That's why we're here. Okay? Understand your position in Christ. You know, and some of you, I know in DT, and especially maybe in a freshman ministry team and some different places, some of the teams on the ministry team have been talking about our position in Christ. We've heard a great deal about that our last few years. We've been talking about who we are in Christ. It's not a matter of our performance. That's not why God loves us. But we are secure in Christ because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. The fact that we've placed our trust in Him, we are secure in Him. We always will be, because the Christian life and where I am in right standing with God does not just depend upon my performance. I am right related to God because Jesus Christ did something for me on the cross. I now trust Him. I rely on Him. That does not take away from the fact that I am to live obediently to Him. We've already had something to say about that. But we want you, when you go away from here, to understand your position in Jesus Christ. That for the rest of your life, you know, I am accepted because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross for me. And I can live in freedom. I don't have to have the approval of others. We've heard some. And Mark was gracious enough to share honestly with us tonight about some of the struggles he's had. You see, if we are accepted by God, God loves us, accepts us, then we don't have to try to earn the favor of others. And so understanding our position in Christ is very, very important. I would highly encourage you to spend some time in Romans 6, 7, and 8. That could be a great help to you in understanding the whole book of Romans, but especially those chapters, in understanding what God has done for you. And then we want you to understand that you are in His body. God placed us in a body. 1 Corinthians 12, 13 says, every one of us were baptized. Once we become a Christian, we are placed by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. That means that we're part of a team. Though we want to train you individually, because when you go out of here, most of you are not going to be in the little team you're in now. You're going to scatter. Some of you will take a job in Tulsa. Some of you will take a job in California. You'll be scattered. We're doing some things with you individually, but we want you to know, even while you're here, you have to be a part of the body. This body, but also a local body, where you have something to do with local believers in this community. You're in a college situation, and you ought to be a part of a team and a part of the BSU, but you also ought to be, on Sunday morning at least, and at other times, a part of a local body of believers, so that they see, they can better pray for you, they can know you. And so we're all a part of a body. God has given us gifts. We don't all have the same gifts. And more and more, as we talk about our BSU, we're going to talk about how can we help you, and we'll be trying to do this next semester. We're going to have some sessions on spiritual gifts. This will be covered in some different areas, part of the time in Vespers, some testing and different things, to help you to discover what your gift is, so that you can see. Some of you, you do not have the gifts that would relate maybe to speaking or leading a Bible study, but you may have the gift of organization. Some of you would be excellent in helping to set up the chairs, do various things, but it takes all of us fitting together for something to really work. And we want you to understand that, have some understanding of where you fit in the body of Christ, so that when you leave here, you will find a body and you will become a part of that. And then becoming all God desires you to be. You know, Colossians 1, 28 and 29, Paul says, so naturally we proclaim Christ. We warn everyone we meet. We teach everyone we can all that we know about Him, so that if it's possible, we can bring every man up to his full maturity in Christ. That's what I'm working at all the time with all the strength God gives me. We want to see you become mature in Christ, becoming all God wants you to be. Let me tell you, in this room tonight, there is phenomenal possibilities. I mean, there are, right here, there are phenomenal possibilities. When you think about just the lives of the people in this room, if you will walk with God, literally thousands upon thousands of people can come to know the Lord, can be built up in the faith, or whatever God might want to do with us. See, God has a plan for all of us. And that's why to be here is an exciting thing. I know there are a lot of places people on the staff could be, they could be ministering, but to be able to give our lives to a group of young men and women, knowing of the possibilities of your life, is an exciting thing. We want you to become all God wants you to be. Now, we're going to try to help you, but as I've said earlier, it's going to take some commitment on your part. You're going to have to study, to pray, to work, to trust, to believe. There's a lot going to be involved for you to become all that God wants you to be. But that's our desire for you. And we want you to become all God desires for you to be in the area of knowledge. You know Hosea 4:6? Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge." Do you know that there's some things that you can learn here before this year's over that'll be a tremendous help to you somewhere out there in the future? Maybe 20 years from now you'll face it and you'll look back at something you learned. I just read something yesterday or the day before that came in on a fax from a student that left here probably right at 20 years ago. And he said, "You know what I learned at the BSU is the most I've ever learned in my Christian life as far as basics." I've been in a number of churches. He's been some other places. But he said, "What I learned here is still what's helping me." And he's having a tremendous ministry today. And so knowledge is important. It's very, very important. Proverbs 1:7 says the beginning, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Proverbs 10:14 says wise men store up knowledge. That's Proverbs 10:14. Proverbs 20 verse 15 says the lips of knowledge are a precious jewel. Proverbs 22, 20 and 21. Proverbs 22, 20 and 21. "Have not I written to you excellent things in counsel and in knowledge, that you might speak the words of knowledge to them who come to you?" So God has given us tremendous knowledge that we can speak. And so you need to learn. You need to be reading. You need to be learning. Do you know the truth? For example, do you know the truth about homosexuality? Do you know that there is some truth and there's a lot of lies floating around? But do you know that there is some truth about what God had to say about that? That it is not an alternate lifestyle, that it is an abomination to God? Now, are you going to hang on to that regardless of what the scientist looks through his little scope and looks up in his white jacket and says, "Oh, some people are just born that way"? Well, I was born with a sinful nature. I started lying at an early age. And don't look so smug, you did too. That's your nature. But God said, quit it. "Oh, but that's my nature." I don't care what your stinking nature is. God said it's wrong. So if they prove tomorrow that some people are born gay, think, then you got a problem to work on. I mean, you really do. Because that's sin. It's wrong. It always will be. There's no way God's in it. So forget it. It's wrong. It's in the book. Now, let me tell you, that's just one area. I mean, there is so much lies running through our society. And if you don't know this, you're going to swallow a bunch of it. And it's going to cause you untold heartache. I mean, when American Express gets, you get the little deal in the mail when you're a senior, and you'll start getting them, credit cards, all this kind of stuff. If you don't know the truth about those things and what God has to say about debt and some things like that, you're going to be in serious trouble. And it won't be long. You will be. And so the Bible has a lot of knowledge. You know, that's one of the reasons around here you hear things like scripture memory. You know, that thing that you don't like to do. It's hard. It never gets easy. Why? Because we want you to get the Word of God in your heart so that you always have a sieve through which you can evaluate things. Here's something coming down the pipe. Well, I've got a sieve. And it's called the Bible. And if it doesn't fit, then we throw it out. And so knowledge is important. And I want to say this to you, and I've already said it to some of you. Some of you will never be leaders. You know why? Because you are not readers. You grew up on video, and you will not read. One of the best things some of you could do is take a speed reading course. Learn how to read. And read Christian books. You know, and I know by the time I got out of college, I had read the life of guys like Billy Sunday and D.L. Moody and Charles Finney. And I'd read men like that. And I'd read a C.T. Studd. And I'd read Hudson Taylor. And I'd read of the men. And see, if I go blind tomorrow, you know what I can do? I can lay down in my bed and I can have fellowship with men that I read about when I was in college. But you know the danger you face? There's some kind of concert within 100 miles. So you're never going to read a book. Some of you have not read a book this semester that you didn't have to read. Some of you hadn't read a book in years you didn't have to read. By the way, there's a 30% sale on a bookstore. I get absolutely no commission from the bookstore. But it's a great time to go down there and pick a book. And don't just look at how thick it is. Get you one you want to read. Knowledge. Get some knowledge. Knowledge. There's some place in there you are going to live out of what you know. See, I mean, if you've got a heart for the Lord and you know something, you'll do it. But if you don't know, you're going to be in trouble in some areas. And then your character. I said earlier, you are who you are in the dark. What about your responsibility? What about your integrity? What about your discernment? What about your purity of life? Guys, do the girls you date know that never, ever in any situation would you put them in a situation that would not be good as far as their purity is concerned? Are you becoming like Christ? Will your character stand the test of time? And then skills. You know, I said something about knowledge. Knowledge is not enough. You also need to take that knowledge and do something with it. That's why some of you that'll make the effort to lead a Bible study here, you're going to be helped tremendously in the future. When you get out in the world, you get in a church, you have a chance to teach a Sunday school class. Some of you have already learned some basic skills that'll be helpful for you the rest of your life. Some of you won't attempt to do something like that. And when that day comes along, an opportunity for ministry, either you will turn it down or you're going to have to learn some things you should have learned years before. You need to take the knowledge you have and begin to do something with it. Skills. That's the way skill is developed. Taking the knowledge and practicing it. Doing something with it. Learning to follow up. You want to know how to help people in the future? Find someone here that you can help now. That's why we go to conferences and things, to learn and to try to put the things into practice. Putting knowledge to use. There are going to be needy people around you all your life. Will you have the skills to know how to help them? Vision. What do you want out of your life? Where are you going? And I'll not say a great deal to you about that, but you need to have a personal vision. What do you want to accomplish with your life? What's God gifted you to do? What are you going to set out to do in life? What's your vision? Then on the back page, with the desire that God use you. John 15:5. Jesus said, I am the vine, you're the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. And then one of the things that we've talked about, we've been doing, is so that God might be able to use you in the lives of other people. It's not something you do, but it's something God will do with you. You know, Vance Havner, who passed away a few years ago, a great old preacher, written a number of books, and he said, I hear people pray, God use me, God use me. And I want to say to them, if you would get usable, God would wear you out. And that's right. God will use us if we're usable. And then to the ends of the earth. Jesus said the field is a world. You know, as Shelley has shared with us tonight, you know, there is a world out there that's very, very needy. There are places in this world where you could go and make a significant difference. One of the best things some of you could do would be to spend some time overseas. Perhaps you're graduating. There's nothing that is particularly looks exciting to you, or maybe there is something that looks exciting. But it might be a great time for you to go overseas and spend some time. But some of you will do that for your whole life. Others of you can do it for a part of the time. But even if you stay here, whatever we do, we need to see that this message is for the whole world. And we need to live to get that message to the ends of the earth. And we want to do this by helping raising them up, multiplying laborers. The need is for laborers. When Jesus in Matthew 9:36 through through 38. When Jesus saw the multitude, the scriptures say he was moved with compassion. And he still is today. He's moved with compassion of the multitudes. How are the multitudes to be reached? What does it take to reach multitudes? It takes laborers. Just like to reach people in the dorms, it takes laborers. If we had more laborers, we could have more people in Vespers. If we had more laborers, we could have more people coming to know the Lord. And so we need laborers, multiplying laborers. So whatever you're learning here, it's not just an end in itself. We don't want you to primarily just learn this just for you. But see, that's what I try to do is I read in other things. I want to read primarily. I want to feed my own soul. I want to learn things. But I always have in mind, God, if I can learn something that I can help other people with, that can help my life and help other people. And so always have that in mind. As you're memorizing verses, sometimes I read a passage of Scripture and I see a verse and I think, oh, that would be tremendous to use in this particular situation. And so I want to memorize it. Maybe I don't have that particular problem, but I may know somebody that does, and I want that because I want to be able to help that person. And then the last thing, the evangelization of the lost. You know, in Luke 19:10, it says that Jesus came to seek the lost. That's why he came. That's why he came for us, is that we could be saved and know him. Now, there's a world out there that needs to know the Lord. Lost people are very, very important to Jesus. We're doing some thinking about our situation. When you look around, how many people do you know that have come to know the Lord recently as a result of our ministry? Well, they're not very many, right? We need to work on that. Jesus said, go into all the world. Now, literally, in the Greek, it says, as you're going into the world. It's assuming you're going into the world, then make disciples. The command is make disciples. The command is not go into the world. Now, in other places, we're told to go into the world. We're to be obedient, go wherever he wants. But literally, in the Greek, it's as you're going into the world, make disciples. Now, let's bring that down to home. As you're going to class, make disciples. Are you trying to make disciples in the dorm where you live? Are you praying maybe for some people around you and trying to maybe pick one person in each class that during that semester at least you could share your testimony with? As you're going into the class, as you're going to work, or it may be where you shop, but there are all these situations. As you're going into the world, make disciples. Lost people are important to God. Lost people ought to be important to us. Now, let's take a look at this. Our mission statement is to help students to know God intimately, to love Him, obey Him, glorify Him, understand your position in Christ and His body, becoming all God desires you to be in knowledge, character, skills, and vision, with the desire that God use you to the ends of the earth in raising up multiplying laborers and evangelizing the lost. Let me encourage you to take this, maybe put it in your Bible. The next few days as you're home, why don't you pray over this? Let this become a part. Keep this in your notebook. We may revise it a little bit from time to time. But basically, I think this will be a mission statement for what we're trying to do here at the BSU. Okay, Carrie?